This morning we are celebrating Palm Sunday. Jesus would ride into Jerusalem on a young colt or donkey. He would ride into Jerusalem and everybody would be shouting Hosanna in the highest, and they would be laying palm leaves down, and he would ride across those palm leaves. And they were celebrating because this was basically the beginning of Passover. And they were celebrating that the king was finally coming into Jerusalem, and many thought that he was going to set up his kingdom at that time. Many thought that he was going to be a conquering king. And so they were ready to come out from under the Roman domination and all the bad things that used to happen to them while they were under that Roman domination. They were shouting, Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus would come and he would see the way the temple was being used. It would grieve his spirit. He would say things that would turn the religious people against him to the point that the religious people wanted to kill him. They wanted him out of their lives. They wanted him so gone that they could control the people through their religious order. So they went to the Roman government so that he would be arrested. And just a few days later, he would have what is known as the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper with his disciples. He would be arrested. He would stand trial. He would be scourged, beaten beyond recognition, nailed to a cross, and placed at a crossroads that was so well traveled that they had to put at his head, here is the King of the Jews, in three different languages. To die that horrible death, which is not a death of blood loss. It's not a death that is fast. It's a death that is agonizing. Because see, what they would do is they would nail his hands off to the side, and then they would place his feet on top of one another like this and nail it. And as he would slump forward with fatigue, the chest cavity would collapse down upon the lungs. And as the chest cavity would collapse upon the lungs, his body would be starved for oxygen. And he would have to push up on his painful feet in order to relieve the pressure on his chest to get another breath. And then because the pain of his feet was so immense, he would slump back down, hanging from his hands once again, and his chest would collapse down upon his lungs, and it was a slow, agonizing death. Matter of fact, if they did not die as fast as they wanted them to die, or if there was something pressing to where the Romans just didn't want to mess with it any longer, what they would do is they would break that person's legs so that he could not push up any longer. And it would be a slow death of suffocation. That's what crucifixion was all about. It was about sending a message to the people that you don't want to come against the Romans, because that's what's going to happen to you if you do. Wow. In less than a week, they would go from crying out, "Hosanna in the highest," to shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They would put him in a grave, and he would be there for 3 days and three nights. And then he would arise to be justified and to justify every individual that would call upon his name. Oh, he was the lamb that was slain. See, all of God's people have always been safe in God's hands. Because when you are in the hands of Almighty God, you are safe. You are safe from the things of this world. You are safe. It doesn't matter if there are plagues. You are safe. It doesn't matter if there are famines in the land. You are safe because you are in the hands of Almighty God. Israel knew about being in God's almighty hand. See, years before that, God had instituted the Passover. God was going to enact judgment upon Egypt, and he wanted his people to be safe. So he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and get one of your lambs. Not a sheep, not a goat, not a bull, not a dove, but a lamb. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen little lambs. They're cute, aren't they? They are darling little animals. I mean, they're just about yay big, you know, and they're fuzzy, and they got dark legs and a little dark face. And they're just cute. Now, he says, I want you to get the best lamb that you have. And I want you to sacrifice him. And I want you to roast him. Because you're going to have a Passover meal. I want you to be in the house. And I want you to take the blood from that sacrifice. And I want you to put it on the doorpost of your house. And upon the lintel, which is the upper beam. So that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Because see, he is incensed with what Egypt has done. He is angry. His wrath is going to come upon Egypt. The death angel, and it's not just some death angel, it is Almighty God's death angel that is going to march through the lands of Egypt. And he's going to kill the firstborn of every man and every animal. And there's going to be a slaughter like the Egyptians have never seen before. But God's people are safe. Why? Because of the blood of Passover. Turn with me this morning to Exodus, the 12th chapter. Exodus chapter 12. God had a covenant of mercy with his people. That if they would simply do as he said, when he sees the blood, he will pass over them. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 11. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 11. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste, for it's the Lord's Passover. On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, for the covenant that you have with your people. The covenant of the blood of Passover for Israel and the covenant of the blood of Christ with all of us that have accepted Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. Father God, we thank you for that covenant because it is a covenant of love. It is a covenant of mercy. It's a covenant of grace. And Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we pray today that if someone does not know you as Savior and Lord, that today they will give their heart and life to Jesus before it's too late. So that they too can partake of your promise, your covenant. And Father, that they might taste of your goodness and of your grace. Father, bless this message today. Bless our hearts to receive this message. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, there's something special about the blood. The blood of the Passover lamb. But Christ was that Passover lamb. He is the lamb that was slain for all of us that will accept him as Savior and Lord. I believe that God wants us, first of all, to see the blood itself. The blood itself. The blood itself was for Israel so that it would be a sign for them. Notice what he said. He says, "This will be a sign to you. This is my covenant to you. I'm doing this for you. Because my wrath is going out upon this world, upon Egypt. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." See, the blood itself, first of all, is the blood of a divinely appointed victim. A divinely appointed victim. See, Jesus is that divinely appointed victim. He did not come unappointed. God sent him to us. There was an appointment, and he was the fulfillment of that appointment. See, many people celebrate Christmas by giving gifts to each other, and they think about the baby Jesus and how precious it is. You know, God did not give us his son as a baby to give us warm and fuzzy feelings. Didn't happen. No, he was born to die. He was born to take upon himself the sins of all humanity so that they could come into a loving relationship with Almighty God. Oh, he was a divinely appointed victim. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's why every year they would have to take that lamb and slay that lamb. And then they would partake of the Passover feast to remember the covenant that God had with them. His blood was shed for us. When he was there in the garden, he took several with him, James and John and Peter, took them a little bit further into where he was going to pray. And as he took them in, he says, "I want you guys to wait here and just pray for me." And so he withdrew a little bit further, and that's when he began to pray. And he wasn't praying, "Lord, take this from me. Lord, I don't want to do this. Lord..." He wasn't praying any of that, but he said, if this cup can pass from me, let it be, but not by my will, but yours be done. He wasn't afraid to die. He knew he would rise again on the third day. He told them that. He was not afraid to die. No. You know the thing that grieved his spirit? The thing that grieved his spirit was taking upon himself Craig's sin. Craig's evil thoughts. That's what grieved his spirit. Don't you know that to be sinless and blameless and to suffer for someone else, that's what grieved his heart. That he was taking on my sin and your sin and the sins of the criminals in prison, the rapists, the child molesters. Oh, to think about it. The Bible says that God literally turned his face from Christ. Why? Because God cannot look upon sin. And that sin was so ugly, so dark, so evil, so malicious, that God could not look upon him. Oh, he was born as a baby to die for me. To think that Almighty God knows me that much, to think that Almighty God loves me that much, to think that Almighty God would send his Son to die for me is beyond my human comprehension. Oh, the blood itself was the blood of a divinely appointed victim. It's also the blood of a spotless lamb. The blood of a spotless lamb. God said, I don't want that lamb that's only got three legs that wounded the other leg, or maybe a wolf bit the lamb on the leg and now that little lamb is injured and that lamb isn't going to be much. I don't want your wounded lambs. I don't want your lambs that are not quite right. I want the best that you have. I want the lamb that is spotless. See, when they would kill that lamb, the way they killed that lamb was humane, but it was gross. They would take that little lamb and they would put their hands on that little lamb on the body. And as they pushed down on that little lamb, they pushed down on that little lamb to buckle the lamb's legs. And that little lamb would push up against that pressure. And they'd push more and more and more until that little lamb's legs had buckled. And when that little lamb's body was on the ground, they would hold the body down and reach down and grab the neck, extending the nose up, and they'd take a knife and they'd slit his throat. And they would put a basin there to catch the blood. That little lamb hadn't done anything. That little lamb had no sin. But see, the pushing down on them symbolizes the weight of the sin that's in our lives. It's the sin. It's the burden. And that's why they pushed that lamb down. And it was so heavy that it buckled his legs. And when he could not get any lower, they slit his throat. Oh, it's gruesome. They'd take that little lamb and dress it out, of course. And they'd roast it. And they'd eat that lamb. And they'd take that blood and they'd put it on their posts. to remind them of the covenant that God had with them. When Christ was carrying His cross down the Via Dolorosa, He fell under the burden of the cross. That cross was so heavy that in His weakened state, because of the beatings, the scourgings, He could no longer carry it. And there was a man there by the name of Simon that picked it up, that carried the cross all the way to Calvary for Him. And as Christ hung there on the cross, He hung there not because of His sin, but because of ours. That's why this is such a blessed holiday. That's why this is such an important prelude to Easter. Because the blood was the blood of a spotless lamb. Christ had no sin. If He had any sin in Him, He would have been unworthy of being the sacrifice for you and I. That's why God sent Him for that purpose, so that He would be that ultimate sacrifice. But not only is it the blood of a divinely appointed victim and the blood of a spotless lamb, but it is, thirdly, the blood of Christ, who is Himself God. To think that God would incarnate Himself, that He would love me so much, that He would be willing to die for me. I can't explain that. That's a love that I can only experience. It's not even a love that I can share with the one that I love the most, which is my wife. It's the blood of Christ, who is Himself God. To think that God would come off of His throne, that God would leave His glory, that God would leave that place to be incarnate as a little baby, and then to grow up and to die for me. It's also the blood that was shed once. Fourthly, the blood that was once shed. The Paschal lamb, or the Passover lamb, would have to be slaughtered every year. It was a reminder of what God had done for them in Egypt. It was a reminder of how, when they are in God's hands, they are always safe. It was a celebration of what God had done in their lives. And so every year they would do this. They'd push down on the lamb, and they'd slit his throat, and they would eat the roasted lamb. They'd eat it in haste. There was a whole celebration that took place. The families would all get together. It was a blessed time. But as Christ hung on the cross, before He died, He said three words: "It is finished." There is no sacrifice needed after this point. There is no sacrifice that can compare to the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for me and for you. There is no more sacrifice. Because once Christ did that, He did it for all time, so that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Oh, the Paschal Lamb is the blood that was once shed by Christ Not because of any sin that he had, but because of our sins. The last thing I believe God wants us to see this morning is that the blood itself is the blood of Jesus accepted by God. Accepted by God. See, every time they would slay the Passover lamb, they knew that God was accepting it. But they had to do it every year. But this was different. Because Christ died and he said, it's finished. Now it doesn't have to be done again. But no one knew if God was going to accept it. No one knew if the seal was going to be on the believer. No one knew. So Joseph of Arimathea said, take him down and put him in my grave. Jesus came from a virgin's womb and was buried in a borrowed tomb. That tomb didn't belong to him. That tomb didn't belong to him because it wasn't him that needed to die. It was me that needed to die. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And God says, you can't be in my presence the way you are. You have to die. But there was a ransom. Christ paid it for me. And when they buried him, no one knew if God would accept it or not. No man knew. A day passed, a night passed, and still no one knows. Another day passed, another night passed, and still no one knows. A day passed, and another night passed. And an angel comes and rolls the stone away. See, Christ did not bust out of that grave. He waited patiently because he knew that it was going to be 3 days and three nights. He waited patiently for God to sign the acquittal in his own blood. And the lightning flashed. And the earth quaked, and the guards fell back in fear. And the angel rolled away the stone. And when the disciples ran in, you know how I can tell he waited patiently? His facial napkin was folded neatly. Look with me in John. It's not in the screen. John, the 19th chapter of John. John 19, verse 6. The resurrection day came. The disciples ran to the tomb because they heard that he was gone. John 19, 6. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. Notice this. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Praise the Lord! 6 and 7. John 20. Did I say 19? I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. My bad. John 20, verse 6 and 7. All right. That's fine. Hey, I make mistakes. I was a chapter off. It says, "Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen." See, Christ did not bust out of the tomb. Christ did not kick the stone away. He sat there and waited patiently for that acquittal to be signed in His own blood. And He sat there, and He sat there, and He sat there. And I would imagine He took that facial napkin off. And as He was sitting there, He folded it. And He laid it up here at the head. And all the other linen cloths were down here by His feet. Oh, brothers and sisters, God signed the acquittal. And now anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? That's why the blood is so important. It's the blood of Passover, but more than that, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you call upon the name of Jesus, God has to save you. Do you know why? Because if He didn't, He would have to deny His own blood. That's why. The blood of Passover and the blood of Christ are so important in our lives, because it is the blood that saves us. That's why when we call upon the name of Jesus and we come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, God would literally have to un-God Himself. Hear me, He'd have to un-God Himself in order to deny us salvation, because we're coming through the blood of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to look at three more things. Too much for one sermon. But we're going to look at the power of the blood. The things that God says has to take place. This morning, we're going to have an invitation. And this is your invitation. Maybe to simply come forward and to thank Him for the salvation that He has given you. Or maybe it's because you need to come forward and accept Him as Savior and Lord today before it's too late. As our worship team comes.